Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with understanding and wisdom as we read your word today and make comments. And we thank you so much, Father, for the wisdom that you're going to pour forth. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to study Man-Child, Planet X, Revival, and the Destruction of Babylon. And that's all packed into the study of Isaiah chapters 11 through 14. So, here we go. Isaiah 11 and 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. Well, the branch in our day is the David man-child reformers. According to Jeremiah 23, 4 through 6, and I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So notice that this branch is called our righteousness, which speaks of a corporate body. Also, Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16 says, in those days and at that time I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Well, you can apply this, of course, to the Christians in the New Testament, obviously, because those folks were types and shadows of them, according to Paul. So shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby she shall be called. Notice, she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Well, notice also, our points to a corporate body. And also now this person is called a she, whereas in the first text they were a he. She is used many times to point to a corporate body of people. These differences are correct, but the translators didn't understand this, so they thought there must be a mistake, and they just put he in there in most cases. My Bible does hold to the word, and it does say she. So, Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Well, my young friend Tubby had a revelation in a dream that he had years ago, where he said to me in the dream, "You remind me of a person I read about," and then he quoted Isaiah 11, 2 through 5, which we're studying right now. This is representing the David man-child reformers. Many believe that this text to be speaking of Jesus, but the only way this fits is when you see that Jesus will return in a corporate body. This is true. And so Isaiah 11 and 3 goes on to say, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. In other words, he walks in the Spirit instead of in the flesh, right? Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So Well, we know that Jesus didn't do this in his time. But this is the man-child in whom Jesus lives in our day, fulfilling the second part of verse 2 in Isaiah 61 and 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So, the man-child will also deal out the vengeance of God. Psalm 89:20-23 says, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him, and smite them that hate him. And verse 5, And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Well, we know the little child is the man-child ministry. Two types of it, of course, is the David ministry and the Solomon ministry. David was the warrior David who won the kingdom from their enemies, and Solomon ruled over, in a time of peace, the building of the temple. So these predatory leaders will be subdued, as you see here, the wolf, the leopard, the lion, so on and so forth. And this little child will ultimately be the Solomon man-child type, who followed after the warrior David man-child anointing, but had a peaceful kingdom, according to 1 Kings 5 and 4 and 4 and 24. Verse 7, And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So I had a dream in 2007. I think many of you have already heard it, of being in a refuge with beasts identified by Peter as the Gentile church, and they were fleeing into the refuge. And in this dream, there was peace between these animals. They all were in total peace, just like this. So if they tell you that this is the part of the millennium, just say, no, this is the people that are brought to peace in this second stage of the man-child ministry. Isaiah 11 and 8. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. But they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. One thing that is going to happen with the man-child ministries is the knowledge of the true gospel and the true manifestation of Christ in you, and so on and so forth. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will all be returned to the people, and there will be peace between each other. It does that. The true gospel brings peace between each other. So in Zion Mountain, there will be no enmity. All of those who are born beasts will be at peace with one another. Isaiah 11 and 10. And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse that standeth for the ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations seek. And his resting place shall be glorious. His resting place, of course, is Zion, as stated in many places. And Zion represents the bride, and it is the place of peace for Solomon's ministry. Isaiah 11:11 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt." In other words, those that have been taken captives to these beastly kingdoms. "And from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar," Babylon, "and from Hamath and from islands of the sea." So after the first time, when the Jews returned, the Christians then returned from the beast captivity to repeat history. That's why he said a second time. In Isaiah 11:12, "And he will set up a ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." So we know that they are a type and a shadow for us. And as a repeat of history, the Christians will be drawn out of captivity to the whole world, no longer pledging allegiance to the wicked world, right? And to stand upon their land of promises. That's why they have to go back to their land. It's the land of promise. And God's people don't know about the promises in most cases, or that they can have them or exercise them, you know. Isaiah 11:13 says, "The envy also of Ephraim," that was the northern 10 tribes who fell into apostasy, "shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off." So Ephraim will be chastened for their vexing of Judah. "Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." So apostates cease their persecutions of the spirit-filled people, which is represented by Judah, meaning praise, and when judged, and they make peace. So God is going to spank Ephraim, and they will end up making peace. Just as the tribes will all be together under these ministries. Isaiah 11:14, "And they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together shall they despoil the children of the east, and they shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them." Okay, in unity they will conquer their factious brethren, right? They'll put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab and children of Ammon. These are their brethren who factioned against them. Isaiah 11:15 says, "And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his scorching wind will he wave his hand over the river and will smite it into seven streams, and shall cause men to march over dry shod." Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So after the Passover in Egypt that struck the Egyptians but passed over the Israelites, this is also a type of what's going to happen in the whole world. You know, God's people escape Egypt through the Red Sea, which destroys Pharaoh's army, and then they go into the wilderness tribulation, contrary to a lot of their thinking. But Isaiah 11:16 says, "And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria," that's one of the beasts, "like as there was for Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." So a highway. This highway is the highway of holiness, which leads to Zion, the scripture says. When a person walks in holiness, that's where they're headed, towards Zion. They want to be in the bride. They want to be spotless and blemishless, right? And Isaiah 12:1. In that day thou shalt say, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. For though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Well, God comforts his people from the beast chastening that they go through. Isaiah 40:1-3 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, the chastening of the beast was part of the crucifixion of the bride, right? The voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord. They couldn't learn to walk and trust in God alone in Egypt next to the flesh pots. They had to go into the wilderness to serve the Lord. That's what they told Pharaoh, right? And so in the wilderness, a way is prepared by the Lord. And he says, make level in the desert a highway for our God. There's that highway again that leads to Zion. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. Well, they will learn of God's way of salvation and his provision in the wilderness tribulation. That's where you learn faith and trust in the Lord. In 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Well, this is a love of the word that comes to them through the man-child ministry, revealing how deep and wonderful God's promises are and the provision that he has made for them. They will all, many of you have felt that before when coming into a deeper walk with the Lord and learning to love the word, right? Isaiah 12:4, and in that day, shall ye say, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. So, when the people get this joy upon them, they feel like doing the Great Commission. Revival spreads geometrically, right? And in verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. Let this be known in all of the earth. Again, the Great Commission will finally be sent to all the earth. 12:6. Cry aloud and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great in the midst of thee is the Holy One of Israel. That just means they consumed more of the body and blood of Christ, and his life was in them. His DNA was in them, right? So Jesus' fruit and his power is manifesting through his people once more. Praise be to God. Isaiah 13:1. The burden of the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. So the fall of Babylon, deep state, in the time of the man-child, I believe, is being shown here. But not just that, it's also the faction in the church that's falling, because they're all part of the same dragon, actually. Isaiah 13:2, set ye up an ensign upon the bare mountain. A bare mountain. Lift up the voice unto them, wave the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. So the man-child brings a fruitless kingdom, a bare mountain, into the nobility of Christ. into sons and daughters of God, right? Isaiah 13 and 3. I have commanded my consecrated ones, yea, I have called my mighty men for mine anger, even my proudly exalting ones. Well, the alliance of nations, Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire, arise to destroy Babylon deep state. Those very arrogant people think it's their right to feed on the people of God. Isaiah 13 and 4 says, the noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people, the noise of a tumult of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts is mustering the host for the battle. So God is raising up the alliance, by the way, a true one world order. I think a lot of people are going to be a little shocked about that, but that's okay. It's all necessary for the future. In Isaiah 13 and 5, we're told, they come from a far country, from the uttermost parts of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Well, here's an example of the use of the uttermost heaven. Matthew 24 and 31. And he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Okay, all over the earth, right? From one end of heaven to the other. So now this is not a fulfillment of what I said, but an example. Heaven starts on all of the earth. The kingdom of heaven is among you or within you, as Jesus said. So this one end of heaven here, the uttermost part of heaven, is people coming from the far reaches of the earth to judge. Isaiah 13 and 6, wail ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. As destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Well, the bride's day of the Lord is at the end of their personal tribulation, and it's to judge those who afflicted them by the wrath of God. And then the church's tribulation begins the 7 years. Okay, so this is a day of the Lord for the bride here. And there is coming also a day of the Lord at the end of the 7 years for the church when it is perfected. Isaiah 13 and 7 says, therefore shall all hands be feeble, and every heart of man shall melt. So the wicked will fear, and they will pass away. And Isaiah 13 and 8, and they shall be dismayed. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look in amazement one at another. Their faces shall be faces of flame. In other words, they will be in the fire of God's wrath. That great and terrible day of the Lord, those who persecuted the bride. Isaiah 13 and 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. This is the judgment of the enemies of the bride. Isaiah 13 and 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. Well, I can tell you what will do that. Planet X, Nibiru, comes as the hand of God to finish off Babylon deep state and the faction against the bride and the church. They're coming to judge. In Isaiah 13:11, and I will punish the world. Yes, this is a worldwide punishment for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So a worldwide judgment on the kingdom of Satan and his haughty, proud, deep state and factious people that are against the bride. Isaiah 13:12. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. So the golden vessels, who become that way, by the way, through the persecution and crucifixion of the beast kingdom, of the house of God, the golden vessels from the house of God shall survive, but not the tares among them. Right? Let them both go together until the harvest. Gather up the tares in bundles to burn them. Then shall the wheat shine forth in the kingdom of their father. Amen. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble. Here it is. I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. This, I believe, is Planet X, Nibiru, as it shakes heaven and earth at the time of the man-child anointing. Hebrews 12:25-28 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, he is warning. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to be in the safe place. Get ready to escape this disaster. That warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. Only the repentant are guaranteed to escape Planet X Nibiru. 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven once more. And that was back in Paul's day that was written. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Yes, the things that are not going to be shaken is the people who are in God's kingdom and abiding in Jesus Christ, the secret place of the Most High. Verse 28 goes on to say, wherefore receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. There it is. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. And also in Haggai 2:21-23, we see, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Are they not doing that right now? The alliance is doing that right now, and the Lord's going to finish it with his Planet X. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. Now he's applying the parable of Pharaoh and the Red Sea, right? He's comparing the fall of Pharaoh and his deep state army to this situation. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. That's comparing two different parables, but putting them together to tell you, yep, they're going to kill each other off. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. So why is he showing up here at this great shaking of heaven and earth? Huh? Well, Zerubbabel, the first fruits man-child, whose name means born from Babylon. And signet is a sign of authority. Yeah, you remember how Ahasuerus gave Mordecai, little man or man-child, that sign of authority, that ring of authority. And Isaiah 13 and 14 says, and it shall come to pass that as the chaste roe, and as the sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people, and shall flee every man to his own land. Well, the deep state are fleeing right now. Matter of fact, Klaus Schwab, a top general in Satan's deep state army, the World Economic Forum, was just taken from his adrenochrome to Gitmo. And the angel told me many of the elite were fled to the Antarctic city, and the angels dropped it on them. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, it was. Yep, all of the leftists took their trips there and had their vacations there and so on. Isaiah 13 and 15, everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is taken shall fall by the sword. So all of their home nations are going to end up killing these people. And you'll in the D-class, you'll understand their fury. And people are going to rise up as they did after Hitler did his dirty deeds, right? Isaiah 13 and 16, their infants also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be rifled, and their wives ravished. Well, the nations are angry because the deep state Khazarians have killed millions of them. And it will all be revealed in the D-class during the days of darkness. The nations will be infuriated. Isaiah 13 and 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Well, the deep state will not be able to buy their way out of this. The vengeance of God is in the alliance under Cyrus Trump, who was the head of the Medes and the Persians, right? So history is again repeating. They're not interested. They won't take the bribes. The whole world has taken their bribes. They have destroyed many people, bringing them in and filling them with Satan and bribing them. Isaiah 13 and 18, and their bows shall dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, their eyes shall not spare children. Well, the white hats and to some extent the red hats will destroy them. This came to pass. Their demonized and perverted children, born to their sex slaves underground and experimented on, were permitted to die. They were found that when they were brought out into the daylight, and many of them have never seen daylight, that they would die. So, anyway, Isaiah 13 and 19. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, it's happening. And Planet X is coming to do its part. So these are, let me say, this Babylonish kingdom are two members of the same dragon. The dragon, of course, was the god of Babylon, because Satan is the god of Babylon. And these two legs are religious and political. religious Babylon is full of demons, Revelation 18, 2 and 3. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become the habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold," or prison, hold here is prison, "of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication all the nations are fallen, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness." So the deep state also are the worst of Sodom and Gomorrah that the world has seen. The hatred that was against Hitler and his Gestapo was nothing compared to the hatred that's going to be against the deep state. Their crimes against humanity cover the earth and have for many years. Isaiah 13 and 20. "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall shepherds make their flocks to lie down there." Well, good. They're coming out of Babylon too, right? Yes. "True shepherds depart from religious Babylon." Revelation 18, 4 and 5. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." Boy, I tell you, Isaiah 13 and 21. "But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and ostriches shall dwell there, and wild goats shall dance there." I remind you of Revelation 18 and 2. "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become the habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird." All right, Isaiah 13 and 22. "And wolves," I would say that represents predatory pastors or leaders or evangelists, "shall cry in their castles," that's the churches, "and jackals," which are fornicating dogs, right? fornicating pastors, "in the pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." Wow. Isaiah 14 and 1, "For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land." That's their promised land. They haven't learned to live on the promises and to live by faith, right? "And the sojourner shall join himself with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." The sojourners, huh? Well, the apostate leadership of the church will be declassed and come to disrepute for their lusts, and especially for their cooperation with the depopulationist vaccine murderers in their churches. I listened to a woman bemoan her church, how people were dying all over the place because they were, of course, told to go get the vaccine. Yeah. Isaiah 14 and 2, "And the peoples shall take them," that's the sojourners, "and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and for handmaids, and they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." Well, for one thing, there's going to be a lot of these people humbling themselves because they're starving to death, or they're being hunted, or whatever. So one-third of the factious will survive and serve God's people. That's what we discovered from Scripture. Isaiah 14 and 3, And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy trouble and from the hard service wherein thou hast been made to serve. So just endure. Don't murmur. Don't murmur in your wilderness. We can see here that freedom will be secured for the remnant who have served Babylon, deep state, the faction to religious faction too, no doubt. Isaiah 14:4, that thou shalt take up this parable against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. The staff, of course, is to keep the sheep in line, right? So as the king of Babylon was killed by the Medo-Persians of Cyrus, so are they now killing the elite Satanists of the deep state. The Lord's angels are executing the factious in the church too, and state as Satan falls from heaven. So these two parts of the dragon, the faction in church and state, are going to fall. Are falling. Isaiah 14:6, that smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke, that ruled the nations in anger with a persecution that none restrained. Well, the deep state Khazarians made their money off of faction, causing constant wars, and drugs. Yeah. So they made their money off of these things, and they off the misery of people. Amen. So the Lord will bring them to their end, as he said. And Isaiah 14:7 says, the whole earth is at rest. That means after Babylon has fallen and no more continual wars, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Oh, yeah. The dragon of both factions is overthrown by Cyrus and the man-child David's. Solomon, the Prince of Peace, will rule in order to rebuild the kingdom. And the people shall rejoice. Yes, amen. Let me say, it will be for a short time, but because we know the tribulation is coming, and although it will be relative peace in the first 3.5 years, there won't be peace because they're still having to rebuild everything that's been broken and destroyed and so on and so forth. But Isaiah 14:8, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid low, no hewer is come up against us. So Babylon wasn't able to kill a lot of people because one of their professions was making wars, and they were destroyed. Sheol from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Okay, so the dead are going to welcome Babylonish deep state and Christian faction too. It's not, I shouldn't say Christian, but the faction in Christianity. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of nations, and all they shall answer and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Yep, the dead received the dragon of Babylon's factious people. Isaiah 14:11. Thy pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the noise of thy vowels, the worm is spread under thee, and worms cover thee. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? Constantly. Revelation 12, 7 through 11 says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven," which is the second heaven for them. "And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down." And that is, of course, both factions, because that's all they do is accuse. The faction in the church and the faction in the government, they accuse, falsely accuse, usually accuse you of what they are doing. "Who accused them before our God day and night, and they," that is the saints, "overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." So the faith of the saints causes the angels to fight for them. Some people foolishly don't believe saints, the angels fight for us nowadays. Isaiah 14 and 13. "And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." That's what the dragon's two factions want to do. They want to put themselves in the position of authority in the church. "And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation." Yep, there they are. "In the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Since they make themselves judges and critical people, they are taking God's place. They are judging for him. They think that they're good enough to do that, but they're so corrupt. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit." The devil is like all of his factious children, eaten up with ego to be their own God and to rule over the bride. They are falling into Sheol with their angel principalities. Isaiah 14 and 16. "They that see thee shall gaze at thee, they that consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms?" So the devil's factions of church and state constantly shook and plundered those kingdoms, but they are falling into Sheol. Isaiah 14 and 17, "That made the world as a wilderness." You want to know why the worldwide church needs a worldwide wilderness? Well, here it comes. "And overthrew the cities thereof, that let not loose his prisoners to their home." So the judgments upon them will create the wilderness for a worldwide church. And Isaiah 14 and 18 says, "All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast forth away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch clothed with the slain, that art thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a dead body trodden underfoot." So they don't get a memorial sepulchre. They're all looking after their memorials, you know. They all want to have those leftist presidents and all that. They want to leave a good reputation in the minds of the people. They want that. They've all spoken that kind of a word, but it isn't going to be that way. They might be fed to the sharks, like the deep state did with their children and the enemies. Yeah, they got caught doing that. Isaiah 14 and 20. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Thou hast slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. It doesn't sound like they're going to have a memory there. These traitors of their own people will reap what they sow, except for the elect among them who will repent and come out, right? And also Isaiah 14 and 21. Prepare ye slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they rise not up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Does this sound familiar? The children, by the way, inherit the demons of their fathers. It's true all over the place. People are finding that they have grown up to be like their fathers with the same bad spirits. And this is a terrible curse on the world because it's a geometric progression, right? Well, God destroyed them all in the time of Noah for this same reason. All of them. He destroyed them all. Verse 22. And I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant, and son and son's son, says the Lord. Yep. Isaiah 14 and 23, I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom or the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. Well, the porcupine Christians and the state draw their spears against everybody. They kill their own people. Isaiah 14 and 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off of their shoulder. So in Joel chapter 2 and elsewhere, they were destroyed when they came against the bride. That's both legs of the dragon, right? And the bride, of course, is Jerusalem. All should go down the highway of holiness to hide in righteous Zion from the beast. Everybody needs to do that. We're warned to do that. Isaiah 14 and 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all of the nations. So this is a worldwide happening, a worldwide destruction of the beast, a worldwide escape of the righteous and the pure, etc. Isaiah 14 and 27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The Lord said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So as we can see, history must repeat, for the Lord commands it in places like Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. Yes. And Isaiah 14 and 28 says, in the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of thee, because the rod that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth an adder, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. So basically what he's saying here is God is saying to Israel's enemy, don't be happy because your time is coming. Mm-hmm. And of course that's the church's enemy. That's the parallel. Isaiah 14 and 30, and the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and thy remnant shall be slain. So it appears this is happening, but that doesn't mean that the one who executes this is righteous. It appears to be happening. And the world's crying out about it. Isaiah 14:31, howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou art melted away, O Philistia, all of thee, for there cometh a smoke out of the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. What then shall one answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and in her shall the afflicted of his people take refuge. So when Zion is righteous, they represent the bride as a place of refuge from the beast kingdoms and Planet X. So, and the curse, and we can go on and on actually. Joel 3:16-21 says, and the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Where is his voice coming from? The bride. So they're speaking it and it's coming to pass, right? The voice of the Lord. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. That's Planet X, Nibiru, which is coming. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people and a stronghold to the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. That's right. Well, strangers have passed through and proven that they were strangers and proven that they shouldn't stay, right? And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down with sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Oh yes, the house of the Lord being built. A great revival is going to come forth out of that. 19. No, not rebuilding anything in natural Israel. Yeah. They can't put together a priesthood in Israel from a red heifer. They don't have everything they need there. They haven't got the red heifer yet. So, even though they think they have. They've done this so many times, finally it grows a white hair, and then they decide it's not qualified, right? Well, verse 19, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. Edom, of course, is those who hated their brother, born of the same father, but hated their brother. For the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, and I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. There's your DNA. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. So, beast, don't attack Zion. Well, not when the Lord's dwelling there. So, we should run to Zion's refuge and enter through holiness, right? Jeremiah 4 and 6 says, set up a standard toward Zion. Flee for safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Zion represents the obedient, holy people who are not under the curse. And for this reason, unholy people are purged from her so that she can be a spotless, blemishless bride. And God's wonderful plan is coming to pass. Hallelujah! Ain't God good? Amen. Well, God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. Head to Zion. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, you know, overcome. Overcome your sins through faith in the word of the Lord. Amen. Bless you. Bye-bye.